Hey, y'all. Welcome back to The Score. My name is Callie Montague, your new official host of The Score podcast. And on today's episode, I get to talk to the number one man in the world on the head side, Mr. Corbin Rice out of Hobbs, New Mexico. This interview originally was to write up a profile for him, which we do on all of our top 15 guys. And I mean, obviously, with him being number one in the world, we need our people to know who he is as we head into this summer run. And he and Cooper Freeman have had obviously a fabulous winter winning Houston, but that's not all they've done. They placed out in California. They're rodeoing hard, and they were doing so when I talked to him. So it turned into a pretty good little interview, and I think, why not get to know the number one man in the world if we're going to keep seeing his name and they're going to keep roping good and winning good. So without further ado, let's get into the episode and hear from Mr. Corbin. This episode is being brought to you by the Dead Horse Ranch. Dead Horse Ranch is an elite equine facility located just outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico, that is being offered for sale by Michael Gregory Jr. Real Estate. To learn more, visit thedeadhorseranch.com. Now let's get into the episode. Let's start out with, why don't you talk me through kind of how you grew up and the first couple years, and just most of the years up through high school, kind of what that looked like for you, how our open was, just kind of tell me that story.
Yeah, so I grew up in Hobbs, New Mexico, and for most of my life, probably whenever we got fairly serious about me and my brother about roping and whatnot, we're more calf ropers than anything. Mm-hmm. We went to all like the ultimate calf roping stuff and anything that we could go to, really, all the Joe Beaver ropings and all that stuff. We roped calves for the most part. I always team roped too, but kind of took the calf roping more serious. And then, I don't know, it kind of swapped off about the time my brother was getting into high school, or maybe my freshman year of high school. Honestly, we kind of got to where we were team roping a lot. Mm-hmm. It was just easy to practice together at home by ourselves because both of our parents worked and stuff. So we could team rope together pretty much most all day, and while nobody else was there and whatnot. So we started doing the team roping deal pretty seriously, I would say, from my freshman year of high school on. And then we still roped calves a little bit here and there and did it at all the high school rodeos and stuff like that too. But yeah, for the most part, I was a calf roper for a long time. And then, yeah, about my freshman year of high school, we started taking the team roping seriously and went to all the high school rodeos and what at IFYR and stuff in Shawnee and Gallup's Best of the Best. We did the whole high school rodeo circuit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. So,
yes, ma'am.
Perfect. And then I know your dad roped, but like outside of family, who like growing up did you rope with or kind of had an influence on your game, like in the early years? I know that's maybe a little different now that you're older, but like back then, who all did you rope with and who kind of helped you?
My dad definitely helped us more than probably anybody. I mean,
yeah,
like he never rodeoed or anything like that, but he roped and he paid attention and watched a lot of videos and whatnot and just kind of gathered information to help us with. And then me and my brother would go and stay with Chad and Ty Hyatt and their boys Quade.
Mm-hmm.
In the summers we'd go over there and stay and for a couple weeks at a time and whatnot, and we roped with them a lot. And Chad, he would help us out some too. I don't know, there was I'm sure I'm missing out a ton of people, but for the most part, I would say between them and my dad, that was the major two that had the most influence.
So I know y'all hit the junior rodeos pretty hard, but like, did y'all jackpot a lot in New Mexico too, or were y'all coming to Texas a lot, or kind of talk to me like, where all were y'all going other than like the high school stuff?
Yeah, we would for sure go to anything we could around New Mexico. There's just not, it's pretty limited as far as what they had. So we made a lot of trips to Texas, Stephenville, I don't know, wherever they had anything going on at, we did a lot of traveling.
Right.
But yeah, we went to Texas a ton, and that's where both me and my brother both high school rodeoed and junior high rodeoed in Texas.
Right.
Growing up too, so.
Not necessarily someone or like people you rope with, but who did you like growing up? Who was your hero in the team rope and stuff? Like who? I wish I had it like him. Who was that for you?
I don't know. It's hard to not say you're a Clay Trine fan because kind of growing up between him and I mean I don't know Chad Masters. There was several guys, I guess, but they were kind of the whenever I was growing up, my generation watching who was, kicking ass all the time. It Clay Trine, he was right up there for sure all the time. And then I would say him more than anybody. I mean, he was fun to watch for sure, watching all the old roping tapes and stuff like that, the BFI tapes and everything.
Yeah. Now y'all are having to rope against his kids. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, for sure.
When did like the team roping deal go from, man, I love it, I'm doing it, we're doing it all the rodeos, whatever, to, man, I could kind of do this for a living if I wanted to. Like, did you have a moment or was this just kind of a process? Like, when did you figure out, man, if I wanted to, I could really kind of rodeo and take it seriously? When did that happen?
It wasn't, I would say it was definitely, it wasn't just one single moment. It was a whole process of it. I mean, rodeo, and it's kind of, I had made my mind up probably about my sophomore to junior year of high school that that was what I wanted to do. And
Yeah.
I was going to go to college and college rodeo and do all that stuff too, but just try to get in the mix of it, go to the amateur rodeos that I could go to, and just started the process of learning how to rodeo, how to enter and do all that stuff. Because yeah, by the time I had went to college, I'd made my mind up that that was what I was wanting to do for sure.
Yeah.
But I still had a lot to learn. Nobody in my family had really rodeoed or anything like that, so it was a learning curve for sure on how the process of it all works. But
I remember, like, and I'm sure y'all did this too, but like when we were ammy rodeoing and also trying to high school rodeo, you'd be like at a high school
right.
rodeo or like at San Antone one year, we had like 9 people trying to call in for whatever we was
Right.
going to, you know, like when you still had to call into the ammy rodeo. So it's a fun
Yeah.
deal trying to figure out how to amateur rodeo and also trying to make the high school finals. It was a
Yeah.
fun
Yeah, exactly.
experience. It's funny. So then, was there, I know you said like you knew you wanted to do it for a living and that was a process, but was there a win, and this could happen anytime. So like if the answer is Houston, that's fine. But was there like a specific win where you were like, yeah, I can hang? Like I know you've had some success, I know even through high school and all that, but like was there one win that put your mind in the like put it you in the headspace where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I can hang and I can do it with these guys. Was there a moment like that, or was it just kind of still the same process?
I would, I mean, it's always in the back of your head, like whether you're capable of it and whatnot, but, and I wouldn't say that there's ever been just a one moment type of deal, but I won the World Series Open in
Right.
Vegas and stuff like that, which I know the top 15, they're not there. They're competing with the national finals, but that was a kind of a deal, and you're having success about at the highest level that you can have success at. So, as long as you're having that kind of success, it's just you just keep putting your name down and whatnot, and it'll work out, I guess.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say there was one moment that's like, yeah, this is it. I've got it. It's
Yeah.
just roping from here on out. You know what I mean? It's a humbling sport for sure, no
For
matter if
sure.
you're kicking butt for a week, it can change fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's
Oh,
talk
for
about
sure.
school then. You brought up school. So you went to Cisco, right, first and then rodeoed for Tarleton. Is that right?
Yeah, I went to Cisco first and then transferred to Tarleton, finished out over there.
Perfect. So, in your opinion, and like, there's 100,000 kids that do this and that are either already doing it or gonna do it, whatever. But what did being in Stephenville and just, well, being in that area, Cisco alike, doesn't matter, but your college years surrounded by all of those guys, because my God, if they don't all live right there in a 100-mile radius, and you come from Mexico,
Right.
right? So you weren't always around it. How
Yeah.
did that
Yeah.
change your game and help your roping, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it helped a ton, because I never got to, like you said, I never got to be around people that, roped all the time, and they really did do it for a living constantly. I'd never got to really be around that until I was in school and stuff, and got to roping better and got to go rope with guys that roped a lot better than me. But yeah, I mean, you're constantly learning when you get to do stuff like that. It's hard to go over there and rope with people that rope better than you, and you to get worse. So it's kind of how I looked at it. It's you're learning stuff all the time. It was a huge transformation to just see how other guys practiced and how much they were entering and going and stuff like that. It was just kind of a whirlwind for a little bit, but you just try to do the same thing and put your name down as much as you can, and go through the process of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, that going being in Stephenville and stuff like that and getting to rope with a bunch of different guys, it's hard to get worse doing that for sure.
That's
There
true.
was a big learning curve.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine just like the sheer number of steers you run versus like you and your brother running a few steers at, or like a few pens at home versus like
Right.
them guys at Stephenville that saddle everything in the barn every single day. I mean, I'm sure
Yeah,
that
for
alone,
sure.
that the reps alone do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you buy it when were you a rookie? Were you a rookie in 2023? Is that right? Or was that your first year out there for like
Yes,
pro rodeo stuff?
2023 was. Yep.
So talk to me about those first couple years, and then we'll get to obviously this past year. But talk to me about those first couple years. Like, was it what you thought it would be? What were some things you saw you liked, you didn't like about it? Like, just talk to me about those first couple years.
No, and didn't really have great success. Won a little bit here and there the past couple or the those 2 years, but definitely got my butt kicked, but wasn't really. I knew that there was potential to get better, and
Yeah.
I needed to get better. And it wasn't like I got my butt kicked and I just wanted to go home and stay home like this and what I want to do anymore. You know what I
Right.
mean? By any means, because like it's all just a process of figuring out where you need to go, what rodeos you need to be at, how you need to enter, all of that stuff, added together. You're gonna learn a lot. I learned a ton just my first year being out here. I mean, it's a ton of driving, and me and the guy that I roped with kind of really just had one horse
Yeah.
a piece, so we didn't really get to do any flying or anything like that. We pretty much drove that whole summer everywhere. Don't think we
Golly.
ever got on a single plane, and still got the 80 radio. So that was it was good for me to have to do that though, and just see how much traveling a guy really can do, and how to make it all work.
Yeah. So who helped you? Like you said, you had to learn the entering. Like, did is that all just, man, you just bumped your head and figured it out, or did you kind of ask the question? Like, I
No.
know you and Chad kind of have a relationship too, so like, what, who helped you through all
Yeah.
that?
The first 2 years I didn't enter. The first year I roped with Caleb Hendricks, my rookie year, and he did all the entering, and I tried to pay as much attention to it as I could, but still, if you're not the one doing it, then you definitely you don't really have any idea what you're getting yourself into unless you're the one putting your names out and making the plans and doing all that. And then we buddied with Bry Kreitz and Tyler Worley last year, and Bry he entered us all year last year, and kind of the same deal. I mean, I try to look at it, pay attention where he was putting us down at, and how he was doing it to make it all work. And then this year, me and Cooper, we've been doing all of the entering ourselves, and it's been a process. Cooper does most of the planning, honestly, and then I put our names down, but.
So then, other than like having to learn how to enter, which I know, like I've never been out there, but I know that's just a huge part of it, is just being out at the right times and being at the right places.
Right.
But like, other than that, what would you say has changed either in your game, in your mindset? I don't care what it is, but changed for you now that now you're number one in the world. Obviously, we're playing a little different ball game going to this summer, I think, than maybe your last couple of summers. So what do you
Right.
think's changed since the beginning?
Oh, I don't. I know that we've got. It's all different because you know kind of what's gonna win at every rodeo. After you've been to the rodeo a couple of times, so you've kind of got a head start going into it. Like you know where you're gonna be at after you run your first year, if it's a two header or if it's a one header or whatever. You
Yeah.
got an idea before you rope of what's gonna win something and what's not gonna win something. So that's a huge help, honestly, not just going into it in the dark and throwing over the chute whenever you can take it a swing or two and make sure you get the cow caught and at that rodeo, that usually wins something. Maybe there's zero chance of winning anything if you take an extra swing. But yeah, I don't know. Going into this year, I don't really know what's changed a whole lot. That was our first year, or that was the first time either one of us had gotten to go to Houston. So obviously, that's a the winter rodeos are a huge help being in them and having a chance to win that much money through the winter. Obviously, that helps a ton. Rather than just trying to go to whatever you can go to in the winter and not being able to be at Fort Worth, San Antonio, and Houston.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to me about your relationship slash mentorship, whatever you want to call it, with Chad Masters. Because I know, like, the head horse, and we'll get into your horses right after this, but kind of talk to me about how that all started and how that came about.
Yeah, so I guess it would have been my second year of college. That summer, I worked for Lane Ivy, and he was doing his horse program and stuff out of Chad's house there in
Oh, cool.
Lipan. And so I met Chad through that, honestly. And then Lane, he started getting into the construction work more so than the roping, the horse maturities, and riding outside horses and stuff like that. So he was kind of doing his own deal. And there for a little bit, I was too. I was just roping and practicing, going to the amateur rodeos and stuff. And well, I called Chad that once Chad got home from that summer, and asked him if he was going to need any help that winter
Yeah.
with, whatever he had, colts, whatever. I mean, saddling, loping, what, I didn't care what I did, just to get to be over there was going to be huge for me. And yeah, he was nice enough to let me come over there. And I've been over there for probably 4 or 5 years now, and I don't work for him or anything like that anymore, but I still go over there, and pretty much that's where I rope at all the time. And he's been nothing but great to me and for me, and there's a lot of knowledge there. He'll spread some of it every now and then. He's kind of hard to get to talk about it, but he'll chip in every once in a while. And no, it's good. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by the Dead Horse Ranch. The Dead Horse Ranch is an elite equine facility located outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. The property sprawls over plus or minus 6,100 acres and includes multiple houses, over 100 horse stalls, an indoor arena, and multiple outdoor riding areas. This unique ranch is turnkey and offers usability as well as upscale luxury. The Dead Horse Ranch is proudly offered for sale by Michael Gregory Jr. Real Estate. To see more, visit thedeadhorseranch.com. Now let's get back into the episode. Let's start at the beginning and talk to me about some of the kind of key horses you've had up until today, and then we'll talk about what you have right now. But what are some horses you had, head horses, calf horses, I don't care what the answer was, but that kind of helped you kind of hit the stepping stones along the way?
There was I bought a right before I went to college, I would say probably my junior year maybe of high school. I bought a bay that Cody Wheeler had him and was selling him for, gosh dang it, I'll think of his name in a little bit. Anyway, he's a one-eyed bay horse, and I bought him, and he really got me through a lot. I mean, he taught me a lot of just Jack Taunton. Like, I rode him pretty much everywhere all the time, honestly. And he would have been probably the horse that really taught me how to win, I guess, especially Jack Taunton and stuff like that. And then I had another little sorrel horse that came from Sloan Henley, and I college rodeoed on him. I high school rodeoed on him a little bit too. I think I bought him right around the same time, maybe a little bit after I bought the bay horse. And those were my two horses that I had pretty much going through, and they got me through the majority of the rest of my high school career and through college for the most part. My junior and senior year of college, Chad had those two horses. They were still good, and I was still winning on them and stuff like that. But Chad had a horse that the one that I own now, and have been riding for the past couple of years. Chad had him, and he was still a little bit green, but like you could definitely take him and jackpot on him. He hadn't been rodeoed on or anything like that a ton. And Chad really let me take him from about my junior year of college up until now. Heck, he let me ride him for he wouldn't sell him for the longest time, but he would let me take him whenever I wanted. Constantly, I took that horse to the college finals. I took him to a bunch of college rodeos my junior and senior year. He let me jackpot on him at all the big jackpot ropings and stuff like that. And he's really mainly what I've rode for the past probably 3 or 4 years now. I've only owned him for like a year and a half, but I've rode him for probably 3 or 4 years.
So what about him fits you so well, do you think? Like, so you had him all, and you've obviously had quite a bit of success on it, but what makes him fit you so good?
I don't know. I have always he the whole time I ever had him, Chad didn't just love him because of the way he scored, but that's really the one thing that I've always seemed like he's done really good for me is the scoring deal. I don't know what's mainly different besides I know he can run, and But I've always been able to score him and have really good goes on him, whether it's jackpot nor rodeo,
Yeah.
and that's kind of where Chad had a downfall on him at, is he didn't love scoring him, and didn't get great goes on him all the time at the rodeos or the jackpots and stuff like that. And I don't know why, what I do different, if I do anything different at all, but I've just always gotten great goes on him and been able to score him really good. And in the field, he's always been lights out. I mean, Chad loved him in the field, but didn't get great goes on him all the time. So that's kind of how I ended up getting to ride him all the time instead of him having him.
Yeah, just wasn't a fit there. Cool. So let's talk about the win at the finale then with Jake. So I'm told, or I read at least, that that's a large part of what got your good horse paid for. So
Yeah.
kind of talk to me about that win. Like, I mean, I was there when y'all did it, but obviously wasn't doing my job, so I didn't hear anything about the interview. But tell me about that win, and other than getting to pay for your good one, what did that mean? And talk to me about that day if you want to.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I actually didn't ride the sorrel there. I have a
You didn't?
buckskin that came from Paul Eaves,
Yeah.
and I rode him that whole day. And I don't know, we kept drawing good, and I was in the barrier for the most part all day. And we just is a six header, so
Yeah.
kind of it felt like a super long day and a long process of it. But we just kept catching steers and catching the right ones. And then yeah, we came back high call and had a pretty strong steer in the short round. I was late, and we caught him at, I think we had to be like 10, and I think we were like eight something down there at the back end. And yeah, we got it done. But no, that was a big win for sure. That was kind of one of them stepping stones. Like, yeah, if you can win at a level like that, then you've definitely, there's something there. You've got a chance.
Yeah.
That kind of, that helped a lot of confidence for a long time, as far as being able to do that. And you see it, the process of it working out, and all that, being able to rip for that much money, and heck, it can, help pay for a horse. And so yeah, no, that was a great day.
I remember when Logan and Coy won that. I remember act like it was that long ago. It was 6 months ago. But when Coy and Logan won this year, Logan said
Right.
that, man, if you can't be in the little yellow arena, this is the second best place. Like, you can run six
Yeah.
steers for 100,000. Them guys are
Yeah.
having run it. You know, they've got their marathon, and that's fine. He was like, but if I can't be over there, I guess this will be just fine. So,
Yeah, for sure. No, that's it's a great roping.
yeah. Other than your good one, what other horses do you have with you on the road right now? I'm assuming you have more than
I
one.
still, I've got the buckskin with me, as who I've kind of got as a backup horse, or second string, I guess, if you want to call it that. That I'm planning on riding some out here, the one that I won the finale on. And I've just got him and Papa Rock the Sorrel. Those are the two I've got out here right now.
Perfect. All right, let's talk about you and Coop for a second. So, I know y'all went to college finals together, but kind of tell me about how y'all came together as a team and how that all started.
Yeah, so he was gonna, I was transferring to Tarleton, and Reed Booz had asked me who I was gonna rope with the next year, and he said that Cooper was coming to Cisco and that me and him should get together to rope. And so I think I just texted Cooper and asked him if he had college partner yet, and he hadn't. So we decided to rope, and then he went to school for a year or two, and then he was done and he started rodeo, and then I stayed at Tarleton for another, I think, year to finish out a degree. And then he roped with another guy or two. And once I don't know, we'd gotten back home after roping. And so I texted him, or he had asked about a Uvalde qualifier or something like that. And I wasn't for sure if he needed a run for the rest of the year or not. But I said, I don't need a run for the Uvalde qualifier, but I think I'm looking for somebody for the rest of the year if you're interested in that. And I
Yeah.
don't know, he got back to me in a week or two or whatever. And then, yeah, we started roping. Yes, ma'am.
So, what about y'all? Like, what about y'all's game as a team works, do you think? Like, are y'all mentally kind of on the same page, or is one of y'all a gamer, or one of y'all is the extra swing guy? Like, what works, do you think, or what has worked so
Oh,
far, I guess?
I don't know. I think we're both just laid back enough that, like, neither one of us ever get mad about anything. We know we're both out there trying to do the same thing and have the same goals. So it's not like you can, we don't ever get mad at each other or anything like that. And
Yeah.
I feel like we're really good at, when we know we need to catch, we can go catch. And then if we need to add some stuff onto that, we're just in the on the same page all the time, it feels like. And that, I think that's a huge help as far as a partnership goes. More than anything, if you ain't on the right page as your partner, then you know the
It's pretty
stuff
hard.
starts, stuff doesn't go the way you want it.
Right. So are y'all like a set of guys that like, do y'all break it down? So say something doesn't go to your way on both sides, doesn't matter. Do y'all talk about it a lot or just like, man, we're gonna move on? Like, what's that dynamic kind of like?
In all honesty, that's where I was going with it. That's being pretty laid back. We've both roped enough steers in our lives that we kind of know when, you know, just ain't meant to happen, that it ain't meant to happen. We're pretty all right with just walking away from it and not thinking about it and having to talk about it a whole lot. I mean, there are certain times that we'll, you know, talk about some stuff and break it down, obviously. We try to rope together as much as we can whenever he's in around Texas and whatnot. But yeah, I wouldn't say we're just breaking it down all the time or anything like that by any means. We're pretty good with the flow, and then if it works out and everything's good, then you know, great. And or if we don't do good and we think we need to talk about something or there was something there, I mean, yeah, we'll definitely you know, we give each other whatever ideas we feel like we need to, but other than that, we don't say a whole lot after the run most of the time. Only if Coop needs a cuss, and I may have to give him a cuss every now and then.
Sure, you will. I bet he takes that just wonderfully.
I don't think I've ever tested
They
Cooper.
say, have you ever done that ever? I doubt it.
No.
I highly doubt it. Yeah. I'd hate to be with a guy that thinks he needs to cuss me after every run, man. I don't know that that would. I mean, I know
Interesting.
who they are. I'll call them. Like, I trust me, I know which ones do it, but I just don't think that'd be much fun.
No, it don't seem like that would. That's a long summer.
No. Yeah. I say that's a better off being home, maybe situation.
For sure.
Okay, so we don't have to get too much into Houston because y'all had a great interview with Taylor, and that was all good. But I did want to talk to you. So when Derek told you like the this is the fun part line, like tell me
Oh, yeah.
about that moment. Because I mean, like I'm not saying he's Superman, but he's some people's Superman, right? And like
Right.
that, I can imagine that last round at Houston was a pretty daunting feeling. So kind of tell
Yeah.
me about that and how it all kind of tied
No.
into now y'all are champs. So.
Honestly, going into the top four man round, it was like the least nervous I'd been the whole week, least stressful, because we were already there and you know, you're guaranteed money once you get to that round. So it was like, and we were first out, so we don't really, you know, go catch the steer and be as fast as we can on it. But with trying to control the run as well, I wasn't super nervous about it. But then whenever, you know, he had said that and was like, man, this is the fun part. I like when he's been in this position before. And you know, I just, he reconfirmed me going into it with the mindset that I have, that I was in the right mindset of it, that this is the fun part, and that this is the best round that you can be in, and just to relax, take it all in, enjoy the moment, and go make a good run.
And then you said that, so like, I'm just gonna be real with you. Like, yeah, a lot of times when a guy wins Houston, y'all are gonna be winning the world at least going into the summer, but y'all haven't like just won Houston. It's not like y'all only have 65,000 sitting in your
Right.
earnings. So, like, you said it was a weird, crazy feeling because you'd never been there before, and that's understandable. But like, did it change your plan for the rest of the year at all? Did it alt like, did it mess with your brain? Like, a lot of confidence or a lot of pressure? What has that kind of felt like since then?
It's honestly felt really easy. Not, I'm not saying nothing about rodeoing is easy at all, but I've been in a lot of, you know, it's always felt like I've been chasing the being in the top 15 or even top 20 my whole career, which I know it hadn't been super long time, but I've always just been trying to get into the top 15, top 20, and that's a stressful deal going into it. And I don't know, just having a lead and having that much money won right now, it's just it makes every run way less stressful knowing that there's not really added it super a ton of pressure as far as like you've got to catch this steer, or you need to be this on the steer or whatever. It everything's just feels like it's comfortable every time we get to back in the box now, that you can go out there and do whatever the steer lets you do on him and try to do as good as you can every time, obviously. But it has been less stressful than any other time. And we're not in the middle of the summer or anything like that by any means. But
You might be talking different. I'll
no,
call you in July.
yeah, exactly. But no, as of right now, we're just enjoying it and just trying to go and catch steers and win whatever we can when we have a chance to.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's kind of like the either chasing versus being chased, like kind of that
Yeah.
conversation situation.
Yeah,
Oh, sorry.
exactly.
last few here. So y'all are young. Obviously, nobody's ever been in the NFR in this little partnership. So, I mean, I'm not saying you will. I'm hoping you do. But, like, talk to me about, man, what if you do? And how do you think that's, like, what kind of dream come true would that be if you got to go to Vegas in December and not for the finale?
Yeah. I mean, it's everything that you're trying to do that from the time I was 10 or 12 years old. That's been the biggest dream ever. So, yeah. I mean, everything works out this summer and we get it done. It's just, it'll be awesome. I mean, I'll be super appreciative of it. And I don't even know like really how to explain it because I ain't never been there before or anything like that and don't really know what to expect. But I mean, it would be a dream come true. No doubt about that.
For sure. All right. Last question. If you could give advice, and I'm going to say a young header, but like that could be just a kid, young guy, young girl, doesn't matter. If you could give any advice to a young person who either wants to rodeo for a living or thinks they want to rodeo for a living, what would that be now that you're right in the middle of a dream come true, sounds like?
Right, yeah. Man, I would just say to start on it as early as you can because I was pretty skeptical on whether I was good enough and had enough good enough horses to go and compete and do the whole deal. And you're never going to figure it out unless you just go do it. And you're going to get your butt beat. You've got to accept that's going to happen and that and learn to be not just be okay with it and just be like, this is what happens all the time, you know, but learn from it and accept the fact that you're not going to win everywhere you go by no means.
Yeah.
And those guys rope good. And even if they rope better than you, you know, you've got to get in the practice pen and try to work as much stuff out as you can. But that my biggest deal would be to start on it as early as you can, because then you're going to have a head start no matter what. By the time you're 19 or 20, you're going to have a couple of years under your belt. And then, you know, I wish I would have just started full-time rodeo. And by the time I was 18 or 19, I feel like I would know even more than I do now. So yeah, just start on it as early as you can and keep as good of a headspace as you can about, you know, accepting that you're going to lose quite a bit, but learn from it, use it as an advantage to you and learn from it, and then come back and just don't give up.
Look at you with the good advice.
I hope so.
Look at you. Sweet. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yep. Sounds good. Yep. Thanks, Kyle. Yep.
Alrighty, everybody, that wraps us up for this episode of The Score with Corbin Rice, our number one man in the world on the head side. At the time that we recorded this, I think they've got about 95,000 won plus. And we talked to them. They were headed to Driggs, and it's the middle of June, and they're rodeoing. So it's one of my favorite things about this job is getting to call these guys when they're behind the driver's seat, and that's just when they have time to talk, and we get to slow them down and have them tell their story. And especially when you're a 24-year-old leading the world going into the summer, it's pretty special and pretty exciting. So I hope everybody enjoyed getting to know him. And again, thank you to our friends at Dead Horse Ranch for bringing you this episode. And we will catch you guys at the next one.